Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Sam, taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. Touchdowns, tackles, all the plays. Bengals roaring every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome in to this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going?
Oh, good. Happy Selection Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was at in the day job, I broadcast high school sports as part of the day job, and the football team invited me to their banquet this year, which is really nice of them. And it was funny because it kept getting closer and closer to the selection show, and it just kept going a little bit longer and longer and longer. And finally, I just whipped my phone out, and I just had it sitting there as I was watching. And as I pulled into my driveway is when, I'm a Kentucky fan, is when Kentucky got their spot. I looked for Marshall. They weren't there, though.
Wow.
They're sitting with Western at home.
I was going to say, I don't think you'd expect to see Marshall on there. But they actually ended up finishing the season pretty good, actually. I think they rattled off like 6 straight and then lost by like 2 in their conference semifinals or quarterfinals or whatever. So also the Sun Belt bracket. Did you ever see a graphic?
It was a
beautiful bracket. I loved it. So
have you filled one out yet? An actual bracket yet, or no?
No, I'm working on, based off of the last couple tournaments, I'm like trying to do somewhat of a regression model on the on just like correlating certain statistics with tournament wins.
Well, it's so, like I always like following the seed paths. Is it's the 9 seed has beaten the 8 seed like 2/3 of the last tournaments or something. Mm-hmm. So, or 2/3 of the games of the last 5 or 6 years. So it's read into that what you want.
Yeah. Last tournament was kind of an outlier in a way. It was very top heavy. It was very top heavy compared to other tournaments. So it was kind of hard to base things off of last year. There's a lot of teams, a lot of higher ranked teams that are kind of interesting this year. Like, UC San Diego is apparently really good. I didn't even know that was a school.
Oh, yeah. That's you got to like UC San Diego. 100%.
First year of eligibility. They pulled an NKU.
I love March Madness, and we won't, for those that are listening and you don't care, we won't dwell too much more on it. And instead, we'll get into our topics of the show, which might be relatively quick because, I think we were expecting to have something to talk about. And I mean, there's some free agency signings that we'll have to dive into for the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, Cam Sample is back.
One either of us predicted, right? Did you? Well, maybe Osai. I think I kind of predict. I think I said
Osai. I was all in on Oren Burks. Yeah, I predicted that one 100%.
You predicted Oren Burks?
Okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I predicted. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We still predicted Tevin Jenkins. That might still happen. There's a couple of other teams that are also courting him.
Well, so on the show today, we'll talk about who the Bengals did get. T and Jamar, that's maybe the biggest news of the week. We'll discuss a little bit about that. And then where do they go next? You mentioned Tevin Jenkins. You know, there are still some holes on this roster. Obviously, who are some of the names that are still out there? Because it's not like it's completely barren now. There are still some names that could make the Bengals better. We will be talking about those as this show goes along. We invite you to follow us on our social media channels. We're Facebook, we're YouTube, we're Twitter. We're also on your favorite podcasting platform. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating that way. But it got started pretty much right away for the Bengals. I think we're about an hour in. And the first free agent signing, I use this in hard quotations, was BJ Hill for the Bengals on Monday. He re-signs to a 3-year, $33 million deal. I don't know with this one. It makes sense, but I guess I just didn't really expect it to be as quick as it happened.
No, I didn't expect it to be as quick. And then also they've kind of bucked the trend a little bit from what they've done for the past, let's say, 4 or 5 years in free agency, which is go for younger guys, maybe not the A-list free agents that are out there, but definitely some solid B-tier guys to kind of just fill some gaps that you had on the roster. And I'm okay with this signing more for the fact that it's a team-friendly contract. Only $11 million are guaranteed in that $33 million deal, according to Over the Cap. So really, you're only signing him for 1 year, and then he ends up falling off the cliff this year. Then you have an easy out, I think, on this contract. But it's a team-friendly deal. And the thing about BJ Hill is that, I mean, he's pretty solid in every aspect of what you need out of the three tech position. Is he the best three tech in the league? By any means, no. But he's definitely not a bad three tech defensive tackle.
He's average.
Yeah, I mean, and he's actually, I mean, this past season, he was kind of elite in the run defensive grade. We're talking 90th percentile in run defensive grade amongst interior defensive linemen and 91st percentile in run stop rate. According to PFF, amongst interior defensive linemen. And then in the pass rushing category, 60th and 57th percentile in pass rush grade and pass rush win rate, which hovered right around 9%, which is, you know, decent. DJ Reader was probably around like 15%, which was really good. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm okay with this signing if we're going to get the same BJ Hill that we've always gotten. And we haven't seen a bad season from BJ Hill yet.
No, he's been really consistent since he came to Cincinnati. You know, I think you touched on his run defending too. He had his best graded run defending season last year. I guess it's just one of those that, and it might, I don't really know how to describe it for me, but it was, I guess I didn't give it enough thought that it actually should and could happen, that of him coming back, if you get what I'm trying to say there. I thought, you know, he's hitting 30, you know, the Bengals haven't traditionally done that, they're probably going to try and find the new BJ Hill, so I kind of discounted it.
Yeah, like I said, they definitely bucked the trend on this one from what they've done in free agency the past few years. Usually if you see them go with an older guy in free agency, you feel like it's at the linebacker position, right? Or maybe a tight end.
Right tackle.
Right. Well, but they still drafted the replacement in the first round too.
Well, I mean, even Riley Reiff, like, you got to go back to the guys throughout the years. I guess Lyle Collins isn't that old, but
no, Bengals, he was like 27 when we got him. Yeah. I think
I love the it was like the, you know, the Bengals at linebacker, you mentioned them, where they had that stretch of about 6 or 7 years where they couldn't get anybody. So it was just a new, you know, Preston Brown. I guess going back even further, you had the 1 year of A.J. Hawk. You had the 1 year of James Harrison, where they were just trying to find something in there at the linebacker position. So maybe interior defensive line will be their new. We're going to try and find something of a 30-year-old guy. I hope that's not the case, because you're hoping that this opens up the door for a Chris Jenkins or somebody to fill a bigger role. And then also, this is almost assuredly going to be maybe a day one, if not surely a day two pick, to try and throw more bodies into that interior defensive line for the Bengals. And obviously we'll talk a lot about the draft here coming up in these next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And we say interior defensive line, we'll get into, we might as well get into the other guy too, while we're at it.
Yeah. I mean, we can go into TJ Slayton right now too. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if we're talking about the draft, we're saying interior defensive line, I think they could go either nose tackle or three tech early in this draft by day two for sure. I don't think they would do both of them, though.
TJ Slayton, he was the third signing, but we can talk about him right now. He signed to a two-year contract worth $15.1 million. But really, it's a one-year deal because I think it is no guaranteed money in the second year whatsoever. They have an easy out after year one, so if it blows up in their face, they have no skin off their back in year two whatsoever. The PFF grading for Slayton isn't good, really, at all. But if you want a positive, you know, ESPN has an analytic, which is defensive tackle run stop win rate. Now, there are so many analytics out there, and I think some are good, some are bad. But if you like this one, he was first in the NFL last year. He had 87 run stopping wins out of 191 plays. That was the top interior defensive tackle last year.
Yeah.
Slayton is being signed to do one thing and one thing only, and that's stop the run.
Yeah, and the other thing is to compete with McKinley Jackson for those nose tackle reps, right? I think McKinley Jackson, although his grading wasn't very good for 2024 as a whole, you saw him come on pretty strong towards the end of the year. I think a lot of us got the consensus that he was kind of figuring things out. So you don't really want to get his replacement if you think that he can build off of the end of that 2024 season. And potentially become your starting nose tackle with 3 years of cheap roster control as well. But yeah, so TJ Slayton, like you mentioned, the run stop win rate with ESPN, with PFF's run stop rate, he is mostly the same. He wasn't number one in the NFL, but I think he was right around number 20 out of 100 and some defensive tackles. It's 86th percentile in the
pretty
NFL.
Good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But if you look at the other side, if you look at the grading, he's 27th percentile. Oh, sorry, 23rd percentile in run defensive grade. What that tells me is that when he's in position to make a run stop, he's making run stops. But what that tells me is that he's out of position to make run stops pretty often, at least last year.
I think this is a pretty good signing, though, for the Bengals. It's not a DJ Reader signing, but I think this is not a Sheldon Rankin signing, you know, where I think you could see some things. Cause I think TJ Slayton is the guy that I think you're hoping that you never have to notice him on the field in the realm of he's not missing big plays. He's just consistently making plays. And he's not going to be a pass rusher. I know he said in his press conference that he's got some pass rushing moves and so on, but that's not why he's there. He's there to eat up space. I know he said, what was his, the Packers apparently have given him the nickname in the last year or two is the truck.
Okay.
I don't know if that's going to stick or not, but that's his job. He's in there to truck and just take up space.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely see with them, but I think this signing is most assuredly that they're going to give McKinley Jackson a good shot at winning this job.
This is a better Josh Tupo, or a better Jay Tufele.
That's pretty hard to. That's not too hard to beat, but yeah, that's.
But that's a good thing that we're not relying on Jay Tufele or Josh Tupo or whoever the hell else to play nose tackle. Just because if McKinley Jackson tears his ACL week one, you know, or God forbid, or something like that, that we don't have to worry about that aspect.
Yeah, and I don't want to shade J2 Fale too badly here because I think he was playing he's not a nose tackle. He's too small to be a nose tackle. He's barely over 300 pounds. Like, that guy's a three tech that we had to put into the nose tackle position because we had literally nobody else for a while there. I mean, hell, they had to sign a 14-year veteran and Lawrence Guy to eat up some reps early on in the season last
Bengals
year.
Legend Lawrence Guy, you mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to have a Lawrence Guy jersey next year. There we go. I'll rock the 93. I think that's right. I think he was 93 during his time.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
No, McKinley Jackson's number 93.
Shows you how
74. I think it was.
Shows you how memorable Lawrence Guy's time was of the Cincinnati Bengals that I couldn't even tell you what number he was. Lawrence Guy Bengals. Yeah. I'm even curious if I Google if there'll be any pictures of it. He was 74.
74.
Okay. 74. Okay. Right. So maybe I'll do a 74 Lawrence Guy jersey. The other signing kept coming through was a familiar face coming home. Samaje Perine signs a 2-year deal worth up to $3.8 million. He brings obviously, you know, we don't need to tell you as a Bengals fan what he brings. You've seen it. He's a pass blocking running back. That's why he's there. He says he's even gotten better at it. That's what he said in his press conference. He will be 30 on September 16th. Does that mean anything? I don't really know. I think in his role, he's not your every down back, so I don't know that that really matters that much. But I think everyone's goal, though, in life should be to find someone in your life that loves you as much as Zach Taylor loves Samaje Perine. He's been trying to get him back since the day he left. And this is Samaje Perine's third time as a Bengal. They love him.
Yeah. No, and we've had some good moments with Samaje Perine. I mean, hell, I just remember that screen pass he took to the end zone in the AFC Championship game that we won.
Turn the tide.
To change things around in that game. It was kind of the catalyst, I feel like, could play. One of them, at least. Maybe the other one was that Eli Apple tackle at the goal line. But yeah, he's a familiar face, and we talk about the pass blocking grade, which is good. 66th percentile on pass block grade, not as good as Chase Brown was last year, believe it or not. But still pretty good. Top half of the league, still a really good receiving back. Caught 29 of 35 targets, 339 yards and a touchdown. He was used way more as a receiving back for Kansas City than as a rusher. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, I think it's a good signing for the most part. I think this might be the end of Zach Moss's tenure here in Cincinnati. I don't know if they've released him yet or not. No. I don't think they have.
It's literally a note I have. Technically, Zach Moss is still here.
Yeah, part of me thinks they might try to reach an injury settlement with him.
Yeah, because you don't know with that. A neck injury is such a... And the fact that it came so abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it just came out like one Tuesday afternoon. Oh, yeah, Zach Moss's neck injury is out for the season. And I think everyone was like, what?
Okay.
Hopefully he's okay. Yeah, and I hope he is okay. I mean, I haven't heard anything as to what it might be. But I think this is a good signing. It is a low-risk signing, you know, and if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't really work out. You don't have a lot of money into this. But, you know, Samaje is you've seen what he does, and that is... you know, pass blocking and helping out with that. Because I, you know, I saw Dana lately leaves a comment, said, I'd rather see more offensive line pass protection. This is an extension of that. Samaje Perine.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get to the holes on that here in a few minutes, but it is, it's coming. This actually might have come up at the right time. I was really depressed and now talking football. We love talking football. Love talking football. Okay. Oren Burks signs with the Bengals as well. Linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles, another relatively cheap deal. 2 years, $5 million. Coming off the best season of his career. Grading-wise, had a huge playoffs for the Eagles. He was really good on their run to the Super Bowl. This is another low-cost, potential high-reward guy of being in there in the running for kind of linebacker three and a good special teams guy.
Yeah, it is. And I think this is going to be a really good test as to whether... if this guy gets playing time, it's going to be a really good test as to whether Al Golden is a good defensive coordinator in this league or not. Because, I mean, if you look at the history of Oren Burks, he hasn't necessarily played well up until this most recent season. I mean, he was constantly grading towards the bottom half of the league, actually probably the bottom quadrant of the league of linebackers when he was with Green Bay. Had one decent year with San Fran, but then his grades started dropping. And then signs a one-year deal with the Eagles, and the Vic Fangio effect kind of took place for Oren Burks. Had like kind of like a Zach Bond-esque resurgence with the Eagles. And we're talking 76th percentile and run defensive grade, 97th percentile and run stop rate, and 97th percentile and coverage grade. So if Al Golden can tap back into what Oren Burks did with the Eagles this past year, I think that spells really good things for the team going forward.
You saw it with a lot of that Eagles defense. And I think what that proves is how good Vic Fangio is.
It is. Yeah.
And I think you saw a lot of those Eagles guys go different ways. You know, Milton Williams to the Patriots. You saw, Sweat went to the Cardinals, if my memory's right, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see how those guys do, or if it was just proving how much a true mad scientist that Vic Fangio is, other than what we maybe call Lou Anarumo in that aspect. But did you have another thing on Burks?
No. That's pretty much it.
I heard you like breathe, and I didn't know if you had one more thing that you wanted to drop in there. Joseph Osai, he's back, 1 year, $7 million. To me, this signing for the Bengals is they're betting on potential for him. They're betting on the trend that you kind of saw late in that season last year where he ended, you know, the year with sacks in five of the last seven games, had seven hurries in the last three games. You're hoping that maybe he figured something out, and you're buying like a $7 million lottery ticket of sorts that it ends up working out for Joseph Osai. I'm fine with this.
I don't know if I'd necessarily go that route that it's a lottery ticket, but I think it's a guy that has played a lot of snaps, you know, a decent amount of snaps with this, with the most of this defensive unit for the past 4 years, has had some track record of success, albeit it hasn't been consistent. But just given what the volatility of that position could potentially was potentially looking like going into this free agency period, with you not knowing what is going to happen to Trey in terms of, are they going to trade him? Are they going to keep him? And then you had a lot of other guys potentially leaving. They brought Cam Sample back. We'll talk about Cam Sample here probably next. But I just remember last week's show, there was one defensive end for sure that was going to be on this team going into this free agency period in Miles Murphy. So you really needed to bring a couple of those guys back just to one to have the depth and to a guy that potentially could, you know.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Have starting level snaps again for this team.
Freddie says here that you cannot shave again until the Bengals lose 2 games in a row. Is your wife going to be okay with that?
Until the Bengals lose 2 games in a row or win 2 games in a row?
No, he says lose 2 games in a row. So, I mean, they're going to go 17-0 next season. So is your wife okay with you going full Duck Dynasty?
I don't think my boss would be happy with that. I don't think I'd more...
What's the longest you've ever... I don't know that I've ever really seen it much more than... A little bit more than what it is right now from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, the longest... I don't even know what to say. I grew it out for like 2 months at one point, and it just got too itchy. But
is your wife pro or against... like, is she okay if you would go more? Or...
I don't know.
I didn't know if it was... something that, that sure. It was. Josh says you should keep growing it out too. So I guess the comment section is pro beard Mick. But hey, you know what? If it means the Bengals keep winning, then I'm fine with you continuing to grow it out if that's what it ties into. You mentioned Cam Sample. We can touch into him really quick. I mean, you're just hoping that he can recover from the Achilles injury. He's been pretty solid for a day 3 pick for the Bengals throughout his career. Relatively cheap. You're hoping he comes back from the injury, and then maybe he goes somewhere else because he has a big year, or maybe he is what he is.
Yeah. I think, again, it's kind of like one of those Osai's. It's kind of like the Osai signing, albeit for a lot less money, I believe. I don't think we even got the details of the contract yet for Cam Sample.
But I imagine it's pretty close to the league minimum, yeah.
Same here. And yeah, I guess the biggest storyline is how he's going to be able to bounce back from the Achilles injury. You know, he's kind of graded similar to Osai, you know, towards middle of the pack in run defense, and then probably bottom third of the league in pass rush grades, in pass rush win rate, all those things. So again, this guy played, you know, decent amount of snaps when he was healthy in 2023, 2022. So just having that level of continuity, while they search for a more long-term answer at the edge rushing position, in the draft potentially, or free agency next year.
This says, I just looked SpotRack says it'll be 1.6 million. So pretty much a kick in the bucket, really, for the most part there. Hooday, Christopher. Thanks for watching with us. Marco Wilson is back, too.
He's back. He's going to battle for a roster spot here.
Yeah, I think he had a couple of moments that he looked pretty solid. Yeah, I think, was it the Cowboys game?
It was the Cowboys game.
Then he had some moments that it wasn't great. I know he got cooked by somebody, if my memory's right, on a play, and I think the pass was incomplete. Was it in the Steelers game? Like, did Russell Wilson maybe miss a pass? I'm remembering something now. I've kind of blocked that.
Is this one of the George Pickens drops? Is that
it? It might have been that. And it was... So, I mean, like you said, this is to fight for one of the final cornerback spots. Maybe he makes it. Maybe he's a practice squad body.
Yeah.
What, you don't have...
I don't have a lot of...
Enthralling points on Marco Wilson? I was expecting we'd at least dedicate 10 or 15 minutes to Marco Wilson today. So that's it as far as the Bengals free agency so far.
Yeah. I guess, did we talk about Cody Ford last week? Did he sign?
We did. Okay. We talked about Cody Ford. We talked about Mike Gesicki last week. So those guys are all back. In fact, Cody Ford, I think, signed like an hour before our show.
Okay.
So we were able to mention on Cody Ford. The other big news from the week, and I think this is
the biggest news of the week,
free agency-esque, and that was that, you know, Ian Rapoport reported and Adam Schefter reported, I guess it was Friday afternoon, that the Bengals are reportedly significantly close. That was the words used to signing their long-term extensions with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, and then we got something from James Rapine saying that the deals are done.
Yeah, they're pretty much done. They're working out some of the semantics.
Yeah. So,
and that's really good news.
Yeah, no, it's great news, especially if the T contract ends up becoming what was speculated, which somewhere in the high 20s, right? Did you say about 29, 28, 29?
28 million? Is what reportedly it is, 28, and then the Ja'Marr would be about 41 million
per year. Yeah, I mean, I think that if you get T at $28 million a year, that is a bargain compared to what I thought he was going to get on the open market this offseason. So, you know, I think that pretty much solidifies T wants to stay in Cincinnati. He wants to work with Joe Burrow. He wants to be with Ja'Marr, with Zach. He loves it here. And I mean, it's great to have players willing to make a little bit of sacrifice in order to keep the continuity together there.
What do you think? 4 years on both?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably 4 years in both. Then we get to do it again in 4 years, which will be so much fun that we get to go through this. But you know what? We get to enjoy that aspect. And I guess you'll be running into some Joe Burrow extension then too. So we just get to have a few years of fun without worrying about that. But there's not a whole lot much more to report when it comes to that. But it sounds like theoretically, in 10 minutes, Adam Schefter could send out the tweet saying that the deals are done. Here's what they are. So it could happen really soon. I would imagine probably by middle of the week, though, you'd hope. Middle of the week will be when I'll start to get a little bit worried as to why we haven't heard anything yet, if we haven't yet. If it really was significantly close or a done deal, as Rapine had reported yesterday evening. So I'm hoping that that's what we get closer to. Freddie says T might be three, but would love four. And it might be three for T. That wouldn't surprise me. You know, 3 years. So what's 28 times three is what? 96? Did I do that math right? 94.
No, 50. Okay.
Yeah. 84. 84. Yes. So that'd be three for 84 for T. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
You know, 3 years for $84 million, and the guarantees will probably be where it'll be a little interesting with it. Okay. So now we have to talk about the holes that are still there for the Bengals, because there are some, because I think we're both. I don't think we would have imagined that we would be having this podcast. If you would have told us 1 week ago when we were recording this that the Bengals had not signed a guard by next week's show, I don't think either one of us would have believed that.
Yeah, I thought that would have been a number one priority for them, just to protect Joe. I mean, the guard play this past season was bad, with the mixture of, you know, Cordell Volson, Cody Ford, and Alex Kappa. You've released Alex Kappa almost immediately, coming into the new league year here.
And you would think, well, if you're releasing Alex Kappa, you've got to have a good plan in place to get one of these guys in free agency, or else why are you releasing him now? So it's unfortunate they haven't been able to sign one yet. It's starting to become slim pickings out in the market right now. Tevin Jenkins still hasn't signed yet, which I think you and I are both hoping that ends up being the case, that he ends up signing here within the next week or so. You still have Brandon Scherff out there, veteran guard from Washington and Jacksonville, who's played pretty good football throughout his entire career. Hopefully one of these guys will sign here this week.
Got Dalton Risner as well from the Vikings. Yep. And then, the guy that I've been high on for a while, but I'm wondering about the medicals with him, is Will Hernandez. Mm-hmm. From Arizona. He had the ACL injury. But, as Paul says here they're supposedly trying for Tevin Jenkins, but he's going to go to Seattle. He is going on the visit to the Seahawks either tomorrow or Tuesday. And that is a little bit concerning, because you do see sometimes that the visit is the signing, where he'll see what he likes and the Bengals won't even get a chance to that. Riley says, I think they're drafting one, moving Ted to the left guard and Matt Lee to center.
We'll see. I don't know if I want to bank my center on a 7th round draft pick, even though
you know what I think is more likely?
Like Matt Lee.
I think it's more likely that Matt Lee plays guard. Because
he had any experience?
He has not had much experience at guard. Because he was a 4-year starter at center in college.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that he was getting, and reading through some of the Paul Daner stuff, that he was getting some work at that in practice. At guard, as he should. I mean, they should be cross-training these guys, absolutely, because that center-quarterback relationship is important. You got to imagine that Ted Karras and Joe Burrow have a really big relationship, and I don't know that I'd want to mess with that in moving Karras, unless you're telling me that Matt Lee is going to be an elite center. And then in that case, okay, we can move something with that, and we both like Matt Lee a lot, but like you just said, he still was a 7th-round center for a reason.
Yeah.
You mentioned, Tevin Jenkins, Will Hernandez, Brandon Scherff. Edge depth is another question, I think, for the Bengals, as far as some holes still ahead. I mean, they filled one with Joseph Osai. Cam Sample is in that realm. You're probably going to see some draft picks thrown there, but I think we'd still probably like to see another body thrown in there that's not Lawrence Guy, a week before the season. There's not a ton of names still out there. The one interesting name, and I don't remember if we talked about him last week or not, is Calais Campbell.
We did talk about Calais Campbell, but I love Calais Campbell.
I mean, the thing with Calais Campbell is he's only 94 years old, but still, it's just like he is the ageless wonder as far as defensive lineman goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they end up signing him, I mean, he pretty much takes that starting role at the nose tackle position, I think.
Yeah, but he can move around too, is kind of the pro to him as well. But I mean, he's 38, I think.
He's been playing football for a very long time.
Yeah, I think this will be his 19th year in the NFL or some crazy number, 18, 17, an insane amount. And he's graded extremely well over these last couple of years. Some other names still out there at edge, Aziz Ojulari. Again, he'd be a guy that would be a depth piece, probably not going to cost a lot of money. There aren't a ton of names still out there. I don't really know. Freddie says, with our three tackles coming back, do you think they might be moving one of them to guard? I don't know who the other tackle is, because right now they just have, because Trent Brown is a free agent, and I can't imagine them bringing him back.
I doubt that.
Yeah. I doubt that, yeah. So I don't know who you would be looking to slot into guard right now as far as as one of the tackles on the outside.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a solution for that other than maybe Cody Ford being kicked inside to start.
And I think that's the most likely scenario.
Yes. So they're probably going to be drafting one if they can't get one of those two guys. I mean, they might be drafting one regardless anyways.
Because they need depth. They really need depth on that offensive line. The one player that got cut in the last, 48 hours that is at least intriguing to me is Chidobe Awuzie, was released by the Titans. And why I'm saying this is that if we've known one thing about Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin, is when they have their guys, they love their guys. And if their guys come available, they're not going to be against bringing back their guys.
No, and we've seen a lot of good football out of Cheeto while he played in Cincinnati. I mean, up until the ACL injury, I think he was a top 15 cornerback in this league.
Oh, he was fantastic.
He was great. So if they could try to get tap back into that, that would be great as well. But also, you saw encouraging signs from some of these other cornerbacks as well. So Cheeto would be playing outside. Are you going to be throwing him back into the starting corner role like you did with the Von Bell and really mess with one of these younger guys who showed some promise? Like you're pulling out the rug from under them like you did with Jordan Battle last year.
It is, but at the same time, the Bengals learned last season that you can never really have too many corners it's kind of to me is who would you want as your cornerback four? Cheeto Bayouzie, DJ Turner / Dax Hill, in that realm, or Josh Newton. You're probably wanting Cheeto in a role like that to fill in some of those voids if an injury does happen. And then Josh Newton is your cornerback five, and you're feeling fantastic about that.
Then poor Marco's on the practice squad. No, I get that, but that also would have to require Cheeto Bayouzie to be willing to be your cornerback four.
And I don't know that I don't know. I don't know. I mean, that is an interesting question. How much of Cheeto would he want to come back? Like, if Lou Anarumo was still the defensive coordinator, would that make him more willing to come back?
I don't know.
Yeah, and these are the questions that we clearly don't know the answer to.
No. Only Cheeto knows the answer to that question.
Yeah, but I think if it comes out tomorrow that the Bengals re-sign Cheeto, I am not going to be unhappy whatsoever. No. Paul asks, saw a news article linking Stephon Gilmore to come to Cincinnati. I would take Cheeto over Stephon Gilmore.
I'd probably take Stephon Gilmore. I mean, both are towards the latter half of their halves of their career.
Isn't Stephon Gilmore like 34 though? Isn't he that old? Or am I just completely pulling that number out of my ear?
No, he's 34. You're right.
Okay.
But we have also seen, I think, mostly really consistent top end cornerback play out of Stephon Gilmore. And we have seen that from Cheeto at various points in his career, but it's a little more volatile, so it's a little less trustworthy. But yeah, Cheeto will be 30 this year. So that is a significant age gap between those two.
Cameron says, so is the news about Chase and Higgins contracts being done true or false? We're hoping it's true.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to trust James Rapine, though. He's a very reliable source for this team.
And Mick and I are never going to be the guys that are going to come on here and pretend that we have sources. We don't.
We have none.
None. I used to have a source. He was my next door neighbor, but he wouldn't have told me anything.
Maybe you need to rekindle that relationship there.
Yeah, buddy. But who does he still know? None of the coaches are still there.
He knows Darren Simmons.
Oh, yeah, I guess kind of, but probably hasn't talked to Darren in 15 years. So I don't imagine that the former Bengals fullback and the special teams coordinator probably talk that often. But hey, yeah. So, I mean, we're not going to come on here and pretend that we have sources or, say sources say or anything like that. Now, maybe one day we will. You never know. I mean, you're the one that works. You can see the stadium almost from your office. You drive by it every single day almost. So maybe you can get down there and get on the streets and find out this information.
Maybe.
It's not like you have anything else to do this time of year, right?
No.
At work?
Yeah.
You're just killing time at work.
Not doing it. Nothing important going on right now.
No. So, I mean, are there any other major free agency areas that you're wanting to throw some stuff at if you're the Bengals? Any other names you want to drop?
Not really. No. Yeah. I'd let the chips fall where they fall. Hopefully maybe we get a guard or somebody at this point. Hopefully we feel better about this team, a week from today than we do right now. And I'm not feeling like the panic meter was very elevated going into Friday morning.
And that's kind of gone away over the past couple of days.
Yeah, because I mean, the Chase and Higgins deals getting done, that now allows them to turn their attention towards the rest of free agency, but also to the next big question that we're not going to get an answer to, I don't think, anytime soon, is the Trey Hendrickson situation. And we'll have plenty of time to dive into that. It sounds like the Bengals are wanting a first-round pick for him.
Because I know that's apparently what Trey's agent said that they would get out of him.
Good luck. Good luck.
I think Trey's agent needs to get fired, honestly. One, Trey's agent was behind, you know, was a party to the extension that the Bengals signed to him that was very anti-Trey Hendrickson. It was kind of against his best interest. And now they're tricking down. Now he's saying, oh, yeah, you can get a first-round pick out of him easily.
Maybe they could pull a Cordy Glenn trade and get the first-round pick, quote-unquote, that way, where you're...
But that's
moving
more,
up that slots.
Pick, yeah, that was a pick.
Yeah.
Swap.
So I guess technically by law, they would get a first round pick, but that's the only way you're getting a first round pick for Trey Hendrickson, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine there being a scenario with this. Freddie says, I feel a million times better with T and Chase. This was driving me into sleepless nights. I think we can all say that. We'll be back here soon, probably next week, for a quick show recapping what could happen next week in the Bengals free agency landscape. There's not a whole lot more for us to discuss here tonight, is there?
I don't think so. I think it's time to start working on our brackets here, Sam.
It is. It is. Go Cats, right?
We'll see. Which one? There's like probably how many different cat team teams are in the
off the top of my head. There might only Arizona. Okay, Arizona and Kentucky. But like Kansas
State, I'm including Tigers in here as well, not just
then that opens it up. I mean, heck, you can go to the SEC and get. I mean, technically, there's three Tigers, but only two of them made the tournament. So you got plenty of it.
All I know is that the Bearcats are not in once again.
They're not. Xavier in a play-in game though, up the road in Dayton.
That's going to be a great game. Both of those play-in games, I think, are going to be really good.
Yeah, because what is it? Xavier, Texas, and North Carolina.
San Diego State.
That's right. That's right. So it should be fun with that. OU against Ohio State. I wonder if that's an NIT. Ohio against Ohio State. That would be.
Yeah, that's an NIT game. That is not in the tournament.
That's fun. That's fun. I'm agreeing with Freddie, though. Florida's playing really good right now.
They are playing
really good. They're really good. They're really good. I'd love to say that my Cats are going to do it, but they're not. I'm not sure how far I'll have them going, but I don't know. Maybe we'll have more bracket talk on the show next week because I'm sure we'll be distracted watching NCAA tournament games and such. So until next week, Mick, remember to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Give us a 5-star rating too, please, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting platform that allows more people to find the show. So Mick, until next week, hootay.
Hootay. Thanks for watching.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.